How are you doing today?
Doing well.
It is just me. Okay, so Brother Steve's not feeling well, so children will be in here. But nursery children, babies, may go with Miss Joy. Or you can keep them in here, whatever you want to do. Doesn't really matter. Sometimes it's fun to have a little baby around.
They
definitely keep you awake during service, I will tell you that. All right, so we're going to continue talking about the power of prayer. So this is the Faith, Authority, and the Power of Prayer series. I'm going to go over a little bit about what we talked last week, and then I'm going to talk about the different parts of prayer and how prayer relates to us, how we can use prayer. And I'm probably going to continue doing that for the next few weeks. So we're going to really get into what prayer is for our lives, okay? So last week I said, faith is your relationship with the Father through your belief in Jesus Christ for salvation. So you can pray to God, but prayer is your link of faith. You're speaking to God because you believe in Him, okay? Authority is the position you have been placed in the spirit realm after you receive salvation. So when you get saved, you become sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are kings and priests. You're not just normal anymore. You are amazing people of God. Prayer is the physical action to demonstrate your position of authority and release that power through faith. Okay? And if you don't believe that you have power, because sometimes it can seem like nothing's happening when you pray or situations aren't changing, that is where you have to stand in faith. Amen? So I want you to turn to I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read a few things before we read that. And I just want to welcome the children in today. If you want to read a scripture, you are welcome to. If I give a scripture and you have it in your Bible and you want to come read it, you have to come use the microphone. But you are welcome to do that today, since this is a kind of a different day, and I'll welcome the teenagers as well, okay? I know it can be nerving getting in front of people, so don't let that nerve you. Sometimes it's a good thing to have that, you know, speaking the Word of God in front of people. It kind of helps you prepare for life. In my Bible class, it is easy for the girls to want to get up in class and read in front of everybody because they are confident in their reading abilities. It is harder sometimes for the boys who are not that confident in their reading abilities. And they all range. All boys and girls are different, but I've seen that in my class quite often. The girls are always the first to find the book and they want to read. And I have some boys who are like that too, but mainly the girls they're just like, you know, they want that part. I know I was that way when I was younger. But don't let that stop you. Men become preachers. Just women become preachers. It doesn't matter. We all have the power of God inside of us. Amen? All right. So before mankind started embracing atheism, everybody know what atheism is? It's denying that God is even real. Most people in the world believed in the supernatural, okay? So it was easy. People, that whether they believed in pagan gods or the real God, they knew that the supernatural was real. They saw things in the spirit realm that were real. They saw that. The enemy spread lies throughout the whole earth that he wasn't real. That's one of his biggest deceptions, that God wasn't real and that it is useless to pray. But there's a shift happening in our generation. God has been calling forth prayer warriors all over the world. He is raising up strong generations who don't flinch in the face of fear, who stand strong like battle-trained warriors ready to fight for their families and nations. So there's a part in Luke 21 where Jesus is talking about the end of this world. And he talks about this generation at the very end that will see all of these things come to pass and will see his coming. And one day I was reading that, and God specifically spoke to me that I was that generation and that I would see that happen. I will never forget that. I have held it in my heart, and I know that I am that generation, which means those in my age, you will see God coming on this earth. You will see Jesus coming for his people. Amen. We may have some terrible nations in this world where freedom is a faraway dream, where Christians die daily for their faith, where entire generations grow up believing in communistic ideals or socialism, that embrace atheism and conformity, but that is not too hard for the Lord. Amen. Remember Jeremiah 32:27, that when God specifically says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind, is anything too hard for me? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. There are Christians in the worst of the worst nations who are praying night and day for their lands to be healed, for hearts to come to know Jesus, and for their governments to turn to the Lord. We are watching a powerful change happen because prayer is no longer a cliche. It's not just a saying. It's not just a page on a newspaper article somewhere. It is a real thing. Amen. It is a mighty tool that is feeding this last great awakening. Jesus had 12 disciples who took the gospel to the entire world of their time. Don't you think he can do the same today?
Yes, he can.
Right? The creators of artificial intelligence think they are more powerful than God himself. But don't be surprised when God starts turning even the videos and the feeds around on the internet to spread the message of the gospel around the world. Don't be surprised when you see that happen. Man thinks they have control over what algorithms of information get spread into the internet. They think they have control, but there's no controlling that. God can speak through anything and anyone, right? If you think that God isn't powerful enough, you think that sometimes it's amazing how man is like, oh, there's all this amazing technology, you know, that we have in our hands, and we've grasped that, and we've created that, and we've made it into what it is, but it's not. They think they have this power to be able to control people and control what people think, but there is something about being a Christian that people who create these kind of things don't understand. They don't understand why they can't change the hearts of Christians. They do whatever it takes. They deceive. They lie. They put out lies on purpose to make sure, to get us to believe things that are ridiculous. Ridiculous. And yet somehow some are turned away. But in us, we know the truth. We know the truth. And it doesn't sway us. Amen? So just keep praying. In all of this, Romans 12:12 says to be constant or continuing instant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. When you pray, you are making waves of change flow through the whole entire world. When you pray in faith, standing on your authority, you are not only a huge threat to the enemy, but you are destroying evil plots. You are tearing down enemy strongholds. You are changing the world. You have to believe that that power is inside of you. Amen. I have met a lot of Christians around the world. And I can tell you when they are men and women of prayer. I can tell you when they love God and their relationship with the Lord is serious. Because the way they talk about God is different. They talk about him as if they just talk to him, and it is powerful. Do you do that when you talk? When you talk about God, do you talk about him as if you just talk to him? Does he mean that much to you? Jesus based his ministry here on earth just like that to show us how critical prayer is in our lives. When he talked about the Father, it was real. so real, in fact, that it scared the religious leaders of his day. The people longed for that relationship. When you're in darkness, whether you realize it or not, you long for the light. You long, even if it's convicting, you long for that light. The people longed for that relationship. They longed for something real. They didn't want the religious ceremonies that were just drying up their faith. They were tired of doing all of these works and nothing was changing in their lives. Amen? Because it is tiring. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and start at verse 5. I am going to give that opportunity if anyone would like to read. Any children or teenagers? Got any takers? I'm going to punch Aiden in the shoulder and get him up here. I'm just kidding. I can say that because he's my nephew. All right. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Everybody know what a hypocrite is? Anybody ever been called a hypocrite? I will raise my hand on that. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And that vain repetition, that's not relationship. No. If you're just quoting a prayer over and over again, but you don't actually believe what you're praying, you're just thinking that I'm just saying this prayer because I was told to do that. You have to believe that what you're praying and what you're speaking to the Father is real. Amen? Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, there are a lot of things that we do in this Christian walk and a lot of things that we do openly that we don't always do in secret that we should be doing. We'll say a prayer in church and we'll read a verse in church, but are we doing that at home? Are we doing that in our secret place when no one is watching? Are we talking to the Lord? Are we communing with him? Are we asking him what he wants in our lives? I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 5. And I'm going to start at verse 1. And this is David talking about his morning prayer. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. So I was listening to TBN the other day, and I think I shared this a while back. This guy was talking about how when you, the first thing that you think about in the morning and the first thing that you set your mind on will be the thing that you think about for the rest of your day, because it has such power on the thinking part of your brain. I think it's your frontal lobe. It has so much power that that first thing that you think about becomes the rest of what you think about for the rest of your day. So if you have worry on your mind when you get up in the morning, you are going to worry for the rest of the day. If you have a fear in your mind about something, you will fear for the rest of your day. But you don't have to give in to that. You don't have to give in to that worry or fear. You don't have to give in to the lies of the enemy. You can take your thoughts captive and change the day. If you get up in the morning and you seek to commune with the Lord and make Him first in your morning, make His voice the first thing that you hear every single morning, that will affect the rest of your day. You know, I can tell in my own life, when I get up in the morning and sometimes I wake up to, and I don't like to check my phone first off, because sometimes I will get swarmed with messages that are not good. They are messages of sorrow and messages of pain and messages of things that people are going through, and it affects me. And so before I do that, I look to the Lord and I listen for His voice, because I want His direction for when I go to start my day. I want it to be a good day for the Lord. Even if I know that I'm going to face that sorrow and I'm going to face that pain and I know it's going to be hard, when I know that the Lord is in me and He is on my side, when I have that built in me first thing in the morning, I am set for the rest of the day. I am ready to go on with the Lord and listen to what He wants. Amen? All right, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. And this is something that you need ground into your heart. This word needs to be a foundation for you, because you cannot pray if you don't know that God hears you. Have you ever felt like you're praying and you feel like, you know, like there's a verse in Isaiah that says, I believe it's Isaiah, the heavens are brass. It can just feel like you pray and it comes right back down to earth and God's not really listening. Well, God really, really is listening. He is listening to every word you speak. Good or bad, He hears those words. Amen? So 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So this is what you have to believe. When you feel like you're praying and nothing's happening, you feel like sometimes it can just feel like a numbing, dull thing. Like it's like you're praying and you just feel like nothing's happening. And it's hard. It's hard. You know, when you're like, God, I want you to hear what I'm going through, what I need your help. You have to have confidence in the inside of you that He hears you. Amen. All right, I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Anybody want to read this? Jeremiah chapter 29. You know, Jeremiah chapter 29:11 is one of the most famous verses that any of us have ever heard. We hear it and we recognize it. But it's one thing to hear the word, but it is another thing to receive that word and let it be active in your life. Amen? So Jeremiah 29, I'm going to start at verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, or I believe the NIV says future, to give you a future. Verse 12, then shall you call upon me. So first you have to recognize that God has good thoughts toward you. You have to recognize that. And then verse 12, you must call upon the Lord. And then you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You have to do that. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. Each one of us has to do that our own selves. Amen. Verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me. And when you shall search for me with your whole heart, with all your heart. Amen. Search for him with all your heart. Don't just haphazardly look to the Lord for a partial thing in your life. Lord, I want you to do this in my life, but I can take care of the rest. I want to handle this on my own. I want my own dreams and my own thoughts and my own relationships, and I want to do things my way, Lord. But when I'm sick, I want you to heal me. Isn't that how we are sometimes? And then flip over to Jeremiah 33, verses 2 and 3. Thus says the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Call unto him. There are great and mighty things that God wants to show you. There are secrets in the universe, secrets in your life. There are things that are going on that you can't see in the physical realm, things in the future that you need to be prepared for, that God wants you prepared for, so that you will be ready for whatever the future holds. Amen. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In order to come boldly before our Father God, you have to receive that grace. You have to say, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I need your grace to be active in my life. I need to receive your mercy. I need you in my life. You have to make that effort to surrender. Amen. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to start at verse 9. And this is another part of Jesus' teaching on prayer. Kind of the same thing where he talks about his prayer, but I'm going to start at the end on this part. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And the other day at school, our administrator was doing chapel, and she pointed out something that we thought was really cool. The word ask, and some of you may already know this, is really good because A stands for ask, S stands for seek, and K stands for knock, with a silent K. So if you have a hard time remembering that verse, just ask. Amen? It's kind of like the word pray until something happens. When you think of those little things, they will come to you. And sometimes it's the hard moments when you think about those things. And you need those, right? Verse 10, for everyone. Are we everyone? We're all everyone, even you kiddos over there. Are you everyone?
Yes.
Yes. That means you have the same power that your parents have. You have the same authority. When you receive Jesus in your life, you're not just a little prince or a princess. You are a king and a queen. Amen? For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I want to read Acts 1:8. Most of you guys have this memorized. This is one of my favorite verses. Jesus was speaking to his disciples before he ascended, and he told them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth." A witness is one who has heard or seen something. If you have not heard the power of God, if you have not seen the power of God, how do you know that it can work? How do you know? If you have not experienced the power of God on the inside of you, how do you know that it works? How can you tell other people without experiencing the power of God? Amen. It can be a little thing. I know that when I was younger, I saw physical manifestations of the power of God working in here all the time. This very room, when it was blue carpet and humongous white pews, I remember that. I also remember the floor being really bad because we would jump on it. So that's part of why the reason why the floor is so bad in here, because we would jump when we worshiped. I mean, we danced. It was incredible. But we also saw the power of God working just in almost every single service. We saw people, devils getting cast out of people. People would get healed of things that we didn't even know what they were called at the time. And then later on, we find out that they were like cancers that people were getting healed of. It was incredible. I mean, I didn't realize that when I was younger. The adults probably knew. But, you know, you hear that when you're younger, you don't know what is it when it's cancerous, a tumor is metastasized. Thank you. That's the word. Well, when you're young, you don't recognize those things. When you're older, you're like, you understand the seriousness of God's healing power. You realize, oh my gosh, that person got healed of cancer. You hear that and you understand. When you're a kid, it's just almost like it was just a normal thing for us where people get healed. So we didn't really like appreciate it as much. Now that we're older and things are happening to our own bodies, we're like, oh Lord, oh, we need you. Amen. All right, so I want you to turn in James chapter 5. So these scriptures, a lot of these scriptures are ones that we already know. They're familiar to us, and they should be. We should have these scriptures so deep down into our hearts that we don't even have to think about it. They just come out of our spirits. When we need to pray, when we need a revelation from the Lord, they just come out of us. Amen. James chapter 5, I'm going to start at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Excuse me. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, and that is the Greek form, but it's actually Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, meaning Elijah was a human just like us. He was a mighty man of God. He had the Spirit of the Lord upon him. He could do incredible miracles, calling fire down from heaven, praying and a drought just happened for 3.5 years. Amen. And it goes on to say that, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Can you imagine 3.5 years, you're the one who prayed for a famine, and you're going through it and watching people suffer because of their sin, and you have that power to cause the rain to come down? Just imagine that. Brethren, verse 19, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And I love this scripture, because this says, brethren. That means it is us. We are all brothers and sisters of the Lord. And sometimes we will err from the truth. That means sometimes we will hear the truth and it will not be real to us. It'll seem like a lie. It won't be real to us. We won't accept it as truth. And that's when it takes one of us to convert. To convert, it just means that you change the mind of another. So sometimes we have to speak to each other and we have to tell each other, no, that is a lie from Satan. You have to believe the truth of what God's word says. When the devil says that you are defeated, God says, no, you are victorious. When the devil says you are sick and you're going to stay sick and you're never going to get over this, your body's going to just get worse and worse today, you'll never get anything done. No, you have to hear from God's word that you're healed by Jesus' stripes, that you can accomplish whatever the Lord says. Amen? And even if that means that you have to stay home and rest, you're still not giving in to the lie of the enemy. Amen? Sometimes people think, because that's gone through the Christian talk, is you have to act on your faith. Acting on your faith, it just means believing that what God's word says is true. Amen? So sometimes that does mean that you have to get up and do something. But sometimes it means that you have to make your mind believe what God's word said is true. That you have to act on your faith. That you're not just believing a lie, that you're believing the truth. Amen? All right, and I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to close out with this scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to start at verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And I just want to bring up a little thing. In Babylon, when the Jews were taken captive and they lived in Babylon, Jeremiah sent them a message. And he said, pray for the city that you live in. Pray that the city is blessed and prosperous. Because if that city is blessed, you will be blessed. And I think that more often than not, we complain about our cities and our leaders than pray for them. And I too do that sometimes. And I have to watch myself that I don't always complain about leaders, but that I am praying for them, that I am praying for my city to be blessed. Amen. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? That means God wants all people to be saved. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained, and this is Paul talking, Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. Lifting up holy hands requires faith. Amen. If you're going to pray to the Lord, if you're going to lift up things to the Lord, don't worry about anything that's going on in your life. Cast all of those cares upon the Lord. Amen. And trust that He's going to answer your prayer. Amen. It may not always feel like anything is happening when you're praying, but don't stop praying. I want to encourage you to pray for your spouses. Amen. Pray for your children. You could spend hours and hours just praying and praying and praying. But don't let that affect your life. Amen. Sometimes we concentrate on, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And so we think, well, I'm not doing enough prayer. I'm not doing enough this. But prayer is just communication with the Lord. Amen. Sometimes you do need to set time alone with the Lord to where you are praying and you are hearing from Him specifically. That is a sacrifice of your time to hear from the Lord. But when you're going throughout your day, make every part of your day a prayer to the Lord. Amen. Every part. When you're working, pray to the Lord. Lord, bless this business. Bless these people. Bless my coworkers. When you're riding in a car, bless these people driving, God. Protect them, Lord, as they're going to wherever they need to go. Pray against bad accidents. Pray against things that would happen. Amen. Make this a part of your life. If you make prayer a part of your life instead of worry a part of your life, then things will start to change. It's really, really easy to let worry just take over your mind. When you get so focused on the bad that is going on, it is so easy to just let that overtake you. When you are thinking about the past and all the stuff that's happened to you, if you let that overtake your mind, it is going to ruin your day. Don't let the devil take that part from you. Don't let the devil steal your joy and steal your life from you. Live your lives in happiness. Amen. That's what blessed means. It means you're living a happy life. And sometimes you don't always feel happy, so you need to change that around. Amen. Change that around in your lives. I want to encourage you this week to think about what you are speaking. Amen. Think about when you get up in the morning, what are you speaking? What are the thoughts that are on your mind? And are you going to let that affect the rest of your day? All right. Every day when you get up in the morning, what is on your mind? All right. You can go ahead and stand. We will pray. And I want to encourage you, if you need prayer for anything, please, please ask. Amen. We are here for each other. We are here because we need each other. Amen. We all need each other. I need prayer just as much as you need prayer, right? So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we do surrender all of our cares and our worries to you, Lord. We surrender every fear, every hardship in Jesus' name. Lord, we surrender our past to you, God, and we surrender our future to you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you are taking care of our families, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray blessings over each and every one of you. I pray blessings over your families, your households, your jobs, your businesses, in Jesus' name. I pray blessings over your bodies, in Jesus' name. I pray that your bodies are healed by Jesus' stripes, in Jesus' name. I loose the anointing that breaks the yoke into your life, in Jesus' name. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, say yes to the Holy Spirit and watch Him change your life. Let that power be filled in your life with the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father God, for the authority that we have in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you are building up our faith to believe for change in our lives, to believe for change in this nation, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our states. We thank you, Lord. We believe for that change. And we thank you, Lord, that it is happening in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.